Lord Jesus, we love you so much and we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and thank you, God, for how much you love us and Jesus, your sacrifice for us and Holy Spirit, how you guide us and direct us in all things. I pray for today. I pray for the message. Holy Spirit, speak to me and through me as we begin to transition to a time of talking about you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that are on their way, for those that aren't able to join us, Lord, and for churches everywhere, Lord, as we really do start thinking about what meeting in person is like, and for those that have already been doing it, Lord, how we kind of ramp up, Lord, to that time that we can be together while still staying connected with those in other states and other countries. We just pray for your discernment in all things, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, good morning to everyone. As you guys see, for the last several weeks, we've had kind of a different background as Emily and I are in Colorado, and I'm going to be sending out some updates. I think, you know, we have a joint board meeting, so I'll have some more information pertaining to kind of what our first phase of getting back to the church looks like. Also, thank you guys for your prayers. Just an update for many of you guys already know, but the reason that Emily and I are in Colorado is my dad's lymphoma is back, and it's a pretty serious situation that we're dealing with. And because we are able to be online, Emily and I are able to be out here to help my family. So I just thank you guys for your prayers. If you continue praying for us as we're trying to just figure out decisions, how to support the family, all these different things, we definitely would appreciate your continued prayers for that. Today we are finishing up. We've been in a sermon series called Who Do You Think You Are? And we've talked about our identity in Christ, being a new creation, these different things that God says about us according to his word. And this week, it's kind of this neat transition and how it kind of played out with our next series, which is going to be digging more into the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, why he's so important to us. But in ending our Who Do You Think You Are series, this last thing I'm going to talk about, this last reality, this last kind of point that God makes about who we are, is we are all a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I think this is a great way to transition into talking about the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at scripture, there's two places where this reference to being the temple of the Holy Spirit is found. It's found in two places in 1 Corinthians. And so the first one I'm going to read is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. And today I'm going to be reading completely from the NASB. And this first series of verses, it says this. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." And this passage, this series of verses, this is talking about the Holy Spirit being within our bodies and our bodies being a temple individually. So this is saying that the Holy Spirit resides in us and that each of our bodies is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 17, it looks at this a little bit differently. It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." Pretty strong words, and it kind of shows the importance of our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, or a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, this passage is talking about the corporate, the church, the fellowship of believers, that since we have the Holy Spirit in us as a corporate gathering, we are also the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have it individually, and we also have it corporately together. And so the first thing I want to talk about today is, let's talk about this awesome reality that the Holy Spirit, he resides within us. He dwells in us. John 14, verses 16 and 17, it says this. It says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you." This is an incredible truth. It's almost just too overwhelming to think that we have the third person of the Trinity, and we will talk about that because that just sounds kind of confusing, but we have God in us. He's living in us. He's residing in us, the Holy Spirit. And I hope that is a little bit overwhelming for all of us because it is so powerful. It's so significant, and it adds weight to our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Let that just kind of resonate with you that we have God in us. What an incredible gift we have been given that the Holy Spirit resides in us. Now, I think it's important to talk about this residence, this place that the Holy Spirit lives, our bodies. Let's talk about this because, you know, when we think about our physical bodies, people have all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of definitions or explanations, but there's some pretty incredible things that God says about our bodies, about the residence of the Holy Spirit. So not only does Scripture tell us that we have the Holy Spirit in us, but God doesn't stop there. He tells us that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. When someone says, hey, you know what? There's this temple in Israel, or there's this temple for something else. Think about that. Whatever religion it happens to be, what are people's attitudes or their thoughts regarding temples? These are places where you think of spiritual unity. You feel a presence, you know, the presence of God. There's a peace. There's also respect. If you've ever had a chance to go to Israel, or you know, many of us being of Asian descent, there are a lot of temples, cultural, you know, in our background. If you go to these places, they're places of respect. They're places of honor. That's what people think about when they think about temples. And think about what happens in temples. Well, people worship. They pray. They make offerings. And sacrifices are made there as well. And so when you think about this, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, it shows us that our bodies should be used for God's purposes. Romans 12:1 says this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So our bodies, they should be and were intended to be used for God's purposes. And this is a powerful reminder about our bodies because God wants us to know that our bodies are special. They're not just these random homes or these broken down shacks where nothing important happens. Our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And so I want to shift a little bit. Let's talk about some of those activities. We talked about amazing things happening in temples. So how does that apply to us? Well, individually, because earlier I mentioned that there is this individual aspect, but there's also a corporate, that the church in the world, Christians everywhere, there's that aspect as well. So individually, some of the incredible activities that are happening within us because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, one is that we are being shown the truths of God. The Holy Spirit is teaching us things that God wants us to know. And the reference there is to John 14, verse 26. I'm not going to show these four verses, but if you want to write that down, in John 14, 26, it talks about how the Holy Spirit reveals the truths of God. We are being taught the ways of God through the Holy Spirit. We are also being convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit in us helps us in those moments where maybe we're about to or we have committed a sin. The Holy Spirit brings to our minds, it convicts us of that sin. And we see this in John 16, verse 8. So it's important to have the Holy Spirit in us, helping us to understand when we sin or if we are about to. Having the Holy Spirit in us is so powerful regarding sin. The Holy Spirit also guides us in our actions, our words, and our thoughts. And we see this in John 16, verse 13. So the Holy Spirit has a role in how Christians live. He's helping us in these areas. And the final one, which is so incredible, is that the Holy Spirit He empowers us with incredible spiritual gifts that come from him for ministry, for God's purposes. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. So individually, there's a lot going on, incredible activities that take place because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now, corporately, the Holy Spirit is drawing Christians together as the body of Christ on earth. And he is providing the unity that should define us on a corporate level, that world level. That's what's so incredible about the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of Christians. He's bringing us together. He wants us to be unified. And we see this throughout Ephesians 4. It talks about unity in the body of Christ. Therefore, the church, both locally and globally, we need to start thinking and operating as a unified assembly instead of a bunch of competing interests or a bunch of independent individuals. We need to be unified with God's purpose in mind. And that's one of the incredible things that the Holy Spirit on that corporate, that global level does, having him inside of us. It helps us to come together, to be united. There's another important, actually two other aspects of having the Holy Spirit in us, this dwelling place. The other things that we have to understand about this is that each and every one of us, our bodies, they were purchased with a price. And that price was Jesus's death on the cross. Scripture tells us that we were paid for. Jesus died for our sins because he loves us. There was a cost to our bodies, for our bodies to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. There was a cost, a price, and that was Jesus's death. But because of that, it also means there is a new owner of our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own, Scripture tells us. We belong to God. I think that is a powerful reminder when we think about our bodies and what we do to them, what we expose them to, that we belong to God, and there was an incredible price that was paid for each and every one of us. Now, here is kind of a sad reality, and for any of you, whether you own a home, you own a condo, or even if you're renting, whatever you're doing, there is this reality that the places that we physically live in, they can be damaged due to neglect and vandalism. So let's talk about that, because it is a reality that we have to deal with, that we can damage and vandalize the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can defile the place that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Now, earlier I read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. And in this context, Paul is specifically addressing sexual immorality. Sexual sin is what he is addressing here. And the example that he used is sleeping with a prostitute. And that is because this is something that was very common in Corinth. But there are many other forms of sexual immorality that this can apply to. And two of the most common in our day and age are pornography and premarital sex. These are ways that we can vandalize or defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. But here's the thing, sexual sin, although this passage, that's what Paul is talking about, these are not the only ways that we can defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. Physically, there are other ways. Scripture talks about drunkenness. That is one of the ways that people can defile or abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not drinking alcohol, because some people will say that. It's drunkenness. Also, drug use, whether it's for recreation, if it's for performance enhancement, or for cosmetic purposes. These are other ways that we can abuse, that we can neglect and vandalize the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or self-abuse. We know that there are people that abuse their bodies. And sometimes it could be others that abuse people's bodies. And these are all different ways that we can vandalize, that we can harm and hurt the temple of the Holy Spirit. So some people wonder, well, you know, what's the whole thing with drunkenness or if people use other kind of drugs, like why is that such a big deal? Well, listen to these two passages. Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So oftentimes when people are drunk, when they're inebriated, they're not thinking correctly. And debauchery, different kinds of sins can take place. Chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. It says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Being of sober spirit, here's the thing. There is a reason why people say that certain activities, they can cause you to lose your inhibitions, right? For any of you, you know, for those of you that have never drinking in your life, that's great. You probably never heard this. But for those of you that have ever drinking in college or whatever, been to a party, sometimes you hear this. You hear people like, oh yeah, if you drink, you're going to be a little more, you know, sociable. You're going to lose your inhibitions. And that's the whole point, that when your mind isn't right, when there's something getting in the way of how your mind normally processes things, you're not going to recognize sin. And we talked about the Holy Spirit helping to convict us of sin. Well, here's the thing. If you have a lot of things in your body that are really confusing your mind, how are you going to recognize sin? So how are you going to recognize the devil who's like a roaring lion trying to seek you and destroy you? You won't. And that's why Scripture tells us we want to be sober-minded. We need to be careful of what we put into our bodies and what we do to them. Now, spiritually, this is another way that we can harm, that we can defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we can participate things that can draw us apart from God. Many times people worship other things than God. There are sometimes when literally people are worshiping other gods, and that is one thing, but sometimes we can make ourselves, we can make material items, we can make goals, money, power, all these different things, these can become gods. And so spiritually, we can defile our bodies by making these things idols, by being the things that guide us, that direct us. So that is another way that we can defile, that we can vandalize and abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit, is spiritually. And the final way is emotionally. This is kind of a one that maybe we don't think about. But when we are angry, when we're bitter, when we have a lot of unforgiveness in our hearts, we're bringing that inside of us. And so emotionally, we can also defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, depending on what our heart condition is, the way that we act, the way that we behave. So those are different ways that individually we can harm our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And corporately, this can happen too. So as a group of believers, we can bring harm to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number one, I would say it's disunity. When you see disunity happening in a church or on a global scale amongst Christians, this is a problem, and we are harming the corporate temple of the Holy Spirit. And I would say if you watch the news at all, if you look on Facebook at all, you will see a lot of Christians, unfortunately, bringing a lot of disunity to the body of Christ, that they're finding many things to separate them instead of bringing them together. They're vandalizing the temple of the Holy Spirit. False teaching is something else that we have to be really careful about, that false teaching can creep into the temple of the Holy Spirit on the corporate level, and it can destroy churches. It can destroy groups of Christians. And the final one is when we trust our flesh instead of the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we make our decisions based on our own experiences or our own efforts, and we don't consider the Holy Spirit's leading, this is another issue, another way that we can vandalize the temple of the Holy Spirit on a corporate level. And so we need to have awareness. We need to pay attention to the things that we are doing, because again, we have this incredible gift. We have God in us, and we need to pay attention to what we're bringing into the temple of the Holy Spirit and the activities and the actions that are taking place within that temple, within us, within our bodies. So how do we do that? How do we care for the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, just like your homes, again, whether they're rental properties, if it's a home, if it's a condo, a townhome, whatever it is, there's times where you need to do regular upkeep. You need to do your vacuuming, you need to do your dusting, you need to water the grass, maybe you got to repaint the walls. You need to do some regular upkeep. There are times when you need to make repairs. Maybe, you know, in your house, the plumbing's gone all kind of awry, and so you need to go and you got to change the pipes, do some things differently. And sometimes you need to remodel. Maybe you have a lot of water damage. You might have to take down that wall and put something new up. So as individuals, the way that we do this, the way that we upkeep, the way that we remodel and then we change and repair things is by paying attention to what we are exposing ourselves to. And so the first thing is that pay attention to what or who you are listening to. Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful what you're listening to. And it doesn't just have to be people. You could be listening to the news. You could be listening to a podcast. Be careful what you're allowing to get into your head, to get into your brain, because those things can harm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Next, think about, what do you spend your time thinking about? Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." What do you spend your time thinking about? Do you think about things that can bring disunity to Christians? Do you think about things that maybe are untrue in the world? Do you think about people's negative comments about you or situations around you? These are things that can defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. What do you spend time looking at? Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" We have to be careful what we look at. Again, these are different ways that we bring things into our bodies. And I think one of the very obvious ones we talked about earlier is sexual sin. What are you looking at? Are you looking at things that you shouldn't? Whether it's online or just walking around town, do your eyes seem to kind of be drawn to certain things? Do you focus on other negative images, things that start to affect your mind and the way you think? What are you reading? What are you looking at? Pay some attention to this, because these are all different ways, again, that we can harm the temple of the Holy Spirit. We also need to be paying attention and thinking about, what are we using our bodies for? Do you use your body for God's glory or for your own pleasure? Does your body and the things that you do with your body, do they bring honor or dishonor to God? For example, do you use your body to bring people closer to God? Do you use your mouth to share the gospel message? Or do you use your mouth to tear people down? Think about if you use your body as a means of causing people to stumble. And how does that take place? Well, sometimes we can use our bodies because we want to intimidate other people. We want to bring fear into their lives. And so our bodies can be used for sin that way. Another one is lust. Do we use our bodies as temptations for other people? I remember once in a ministry, as in years ago, I had to talk to one of my female volunteers at the time for the way that she was dressed, because we were going to a youth facility and she didn't get that when you're around these teen boys, the way you're dressed, they're not thinking straight. They're no longer looking at you as a volunteer. They're looking at you as a thing. And so I had to explain to her, hey, this is kind of an uncomfortable situation, but you're causing these guys to stumble. They're not seeing you the way that they should. So we need to think about that. Are we using our bodies in a way that causes other people to stumble? Listen to Jesus' words. They're so powerful about sinning with our body. Matthew 18, verses 8 through 9, it says, "And if your hand or foot is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter life maimed or without a foot than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fiery hell." Now, here's the thing, guys. This is not a literal thing that Jesus is saying. So I just want you guys to know that right now. Jesus is not saying, hey, you sin and this is how it happens, to cut off your arm. That is not what Jesus is saying. As one author described it, Jesus is saying sin is such a serious matter that any sacrifice is worth making to eliminate it. Because most of the sins that we will commit, that we are a part of, our bodies had something to do with that. And so we have to pay attention to the seriousness of sin. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying sin is such a huge problem and our bodies are typically the cause of it. And so we need to be willing to get rid of that sin. We need to look at it as something really drastic, you know, something that really is affecting us in a very negative way. And so we need to be willing to make some sacrifices. Maybe it's changing your life and things you love to do. Maybe it's not looking at things the way you always have. Maybe it's changing how you talk with people. These are the kind of sacrifices that we have to make because sin is such a serious problem. Now, as the Christian community, that again was more the individual aspect of things that we can do. Now let's talk about as the Christian community, as the church. Well, we need to work towards unity. Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Earlier, I talked about how the Holy Spirit is bringing Christians on the corporate level together, is uniting us. We need to work towards unity. We need to work together. We need to have one goal and purpose in mind. We need to use the spiritual gifts that are such a blessing to us that come from the Holy Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 through 7 says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." We need to use the gifts that God has equipped us with for the common good of the kingdom of God. We don't keep those gifts to ourselves. We use those to bless others and to draw people to Christ, to share the gospel message. And then we need to be united in one purpose. This comes from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. And I've read this verse over the last couple of weeks because it is so powerful and it just relates to so much of what we're trying to do here. "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. Now, this is where the main purpose, that united purpose, comes in. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So for the corporate church, the whole point, the way that we care for the temple of the Holy Spirit, is to have that united purpose, and that is spreading the gospel message. I hope this is starting to kind of set in with you guys of how important the Holy Spirit is. I want to just direct you to this, and I'll let you guys maybe take a look at this on your own. But it's incredible when you look at different church websites. And so today I looked at our FMC, the Free Methodist Church website, and what it says about the Holy Spirit. And I'll let you guys on your own go and take a deeper look at this. But it talks about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. It talks the Holy Spirit and his work in salvation, and the Holy Spirit and the relationship that he has to the church. Bottom line is this, is that the Holy Spirit was part of our salvation, part of what drew us to God. He gives us the gifts to basically do ministry on earth. We need the Holy Spirit, which means we need to do more to understand the Holy Spirit, to be connected to the Holy Spirit, because he is God inside of us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this incredible gift. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that not only did you die for our sins, but you left the earth in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and amongst us. Holy Spirit, I pray that over the coming weeks that we would truly understand who you are and what a precious and incredible gift you are to us. I pray that we would grow in our understanding you, that we would better understand the gift that you have equipped us with, that we'll use it for your purposes, God, in your glory. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to teach about you, Holy Spirit, that we would pay attention to you, that we'd be drawn to you, and that we would listen to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in us, for dwelling in us, for convicting us of sin, for directing us and teaching us. And I pray that each and every day we would care more about the temple of the Holy Spirit and having you in us, God. And we pray this in your name. Amen.